You're listening to the Lima Baptist Temple podcast, where you can hear the latest messages and other conversations as we strive to go, serve, and love in our communities. If you want to know more about us, visit us online at limabaptisttemple.org. If you've enjoyed our podcast, be sure to subscribe and check us out on YouTube. Well, good morning and happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there and maybe those who serve in a mom-like role. Just know that we love you and we appreciate you, and we literally could not do it without you. And I'm excited to kind of talk a little bit about moms today. Whenever I think about Mother's Day, I'm always reminded of a compliment that I gave my mom when I was pretty young, probably 7 or 8. But it was a season of our life when we were living in this pretty small brick house, and it was about 1,200 square feet, and we were going through a period of renovations, putting in new carpet and painting the wood paneling, all those things that you do with an outdated small brick ranch. And my parents decided to put siding on the front, and us as kids, I guess we were really excited about this. Now looking back, all I see is dollar bills and all that flying out the window with home renovations. But we were excited about this, and the siding got put up, and we were getting ready for church on a Sunday morning, and all of us kids were dressed and ready to go, and my mom comes walking down the hallway, and I don't know what got into me, but I said, "Mom, I just want you to know something. I just want you to know how much I love and appreciate you, and I want to let you know that you are as pretty as this dull gray siding." And my mom is just like, "Gee, thank you so much. I'm glad I'm as pretty as gray siding number 2 from the siding company." So I always think about that at Mother's Day. So I hope your day is filled with compliments, especially from those little kids. But as Pastor Aaron mentioned, we know this day can be difficult for many of us, as maybe we've experienced a lot of pain as a mother, we've experienced grief, we've experienced just some sort of suffering related to that. But please know, as we talk about moms today, it's not to add to that pain, or it's not to set this impossibly high bar that is unachievable for moms to get. But no matter what season you are in as a mom, I just want you to know that God is working and God is moving. I was thinking of just some of the moms that we see throughout Scripture. Maybe you're in a season like Sarah in the Old Testament, where she was waiting on this child to change everything, and she lacked faith, and she was doubting. But guess what? God was there moving, and God was there working. Maybe you're like Hagar just a little bit later, and you're striving and following what God is calling you to do, but you're experiencing all of these difficulties, and you're just like, "Does anybody even see what I am going through as a mom?" But God sees you, and guess what? God is there moving and working. One of the moms that I really like in Scripture is Naomi. Naomi was this mother-in-law who shares her faith and encourages her daughter-in-law through difficult times. And maybe you're a mom here, and maybe your relationship with your daughter-in-law isn't the greatest like Naomi's was. But guess what? God is still there moving and working in that situation. I was also thinking about Mary, the mother of Jesus. Maybe you're in a season like that where you're just like, "Man, what is going on?" And your mind is blown, and it's just taking this immeasurable and insurmountable amount of faith to get through that season. But as we begin, I just want you to know that no matter the season, there is no circumstance, there is no attitude, there is no thought, there is no label that anybody puts on you as a mom that is too big for Jesus just to get into the middle of that and transform it. And maybe when it feels like it's just too much to be a mom, and all those things that you think back in your previous life, all those things are beginning to be stripped away, and it's overwhelming, all you need to do is look to Jesus Christ. He is literally all that you need. What Jesus did on the cross is enough. You know, when we're weak, He is strong. And when we lack doing what we're supposed to do, He is there. He is the one who is perfect. But again, no matter what season you are in as a mom, I want to encourage you and show you that you are really making a big impact on your kids. You're making an impact on the next generation. And maybe for you, it's your grandkids. Maybe it's your nieces and nephews. Or maybe it's the neighbor kids that live right next door. But whoever it is, your impact matters. But go ahead and get to Proverbs chapter 31. I know what you're probably thinking. You're like, oh, great, we're going to go through Proverbs 31, that perfect woman. But I want to tell you, there is a few verses, verses 1 through 9, that are often overlooked in Proverbs chapter 31. These are the words of a very wise mom and what she told to her son who was becoming a king. And many people skip right over these and then go to the part that talks about this woman who fears God. But this mom is giving some really good and really practical advice to your kids. And I'm sure if you're like me, you probably still get advice from your mom. And many of you have probably received good advice as well. I know in our house, my wife Sarah gives out tons of good advice. But our advice with three little kids at 3, 5, almost 6, and 9 looks a little bit different. It's usually like, hey, stop picking your nose. No, you can't eat that booger. Stop writing on the couch. Theo likes to sign his name in permanent marker, so if you ever come over to our house, just look on the back of the chairs. Yes, you need to wear underwear today. The baseball cards don't go in the toilet. You can't throw knives at your brother. By the way, we'd love to have you over, and St. Rita's is just down the road. But I think we all know that feeling of what happens when we don't follow the advice. One of my favorite movies is The Christmas Story. You guys know that movie, but Ralphie gets that Red Ryder BB gun, and as he opens it, he's running out the back door, and his mom is yelling at him. He's saying, hey, don't shoot the animals, don't shoot the birds. And the dad's like, hey, it's okay to shoot the neighbor's dog. And mom's like, don't shoot your eye out. And he lifts up that BB gun. The target's on like a piece of metal, which was a bad mistake. He shoots it, the BB ricochets, hits his eyeglasses. They fall on the floor or on the ground. He crunches them. And then he's just like, oh, I didn't follow my mom's advice. But hopefully you're in Proverbs 31. Let's dive right in. Here's what verse 1 says. The words of King Lemuel, an oracle that his mother taught him. So just a few quick things here. We really don't know much about who King Lemuel is. Some people think that King Lemuel is King Solomon, but really there's no great evidence of that. This word oracle, this word means it's something that's heavy. This is something that is weighty. This is something that is significant. So what King Lemuel's mother is about to tell him, this is something that was really on her heart that she wanted to pass on to the next generation. And here's what she goes on to say. Pretty practical advice. Verse 2, what are you doing, my son? What are you doing, son of my womb? What are you doing, son of my vows? Do not give your strength to women, your ways to those who destroy kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel. It is not for kings to drink wine or for rulers to take strong drink, lest they drink and forget what has been decreed and pervert the rights of all the afflicted. Give strong drink to the one who is perishing and wine to those in bitter distress. Let them drink and forget their poverty and remember their misery no more. Open your mouth for the mute, for the rights of all who are destitute. Open your mouth, judge righteously, defend the rights of the poor and the needy. And I'm sure you're probably thinking, Pastor Ben, where is this message going? Well, you're just going to have to hang tight. But here's the first thing that I want you to see when we look at these first 9 verses of Proverbs 31 and how you as a mom are having an impact. But number one, the impact a mom has is passed from generation to generation. Mom, God is not just using you to pass on good and practical advice. God is literally using you to hand off and pass on that torch of faith to your kids. And that's amazing. How did King Lemuel learn this? Well, he learned it from his mom. See, moms play a significant role in teaching their kids. In this simple verse, there's really a lot packed into it because it represents not just God's plan for moms, but really for moms and dads as we pass down our faith to the next generation. And we do this in the simple and ordinary and kind of boring moments of life, in the morning and at lunchtime and in the evening, and where we're just spending quality time with our kids. And what's really interesting, if we jump back to Proverbs chapter 4, we see this theme again of generation after generation of faith being passed down. I just want to read to you Proverbs chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. And this is actually King Solomon, and he's talking about, this is how I learned all that I have learned about my faith and about my wisdom. Here's what he says. When I was a son with my father, tender, the only one in the sight of my mother, they taught me and said to me, let your heart hold fast my words, keep my commandments and live. See, everything that Solomon learned, he learned from his parents, who were David, King David, and Bathsheba. And now he's passing these on to his son. And there's three generations that are represented right in those verses. So parents and moms, my question for you is, do you take your role as a teacher? Do you take your role as a disciple maker seriously? Do you know God's word yourself so that you can pass that on to the coming generations that are in your family? And this just isn't something or a pattern that we see in Proverbs. We literally see it from Genesis all the way through the end of Scripture. Here's what Ephesians 6, chapter 4 says. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in discipline and instruction of the Lord. Psalm 78, 4 says, we will not hide them from our children. Talking about all of the things of God. We will not hide them from their children, but tell to the coming generation the glorious deeds of the Lord and his might and all the wonders that he has done. And I love this, no matter what your age. I often tell this to kind of the senior citizens of our church, but Psalm 71:18, so even to old age and gray hairs, O God, do not forsake me until I proclaim your might to another generation, your power to all those to come. See, that's God's plan. God's plan is that parents and moms impact is to pass from generation to generation through their faith in Jesus Christ. It's supposed to go on and on and on. One of my favorite examples of a mother and grandmother in Scripture passing on their faith actually comes from 2 Timothy. And this is Paul who's writing, and he's actually talking about a young Timothy's faith. And if you remember, Timothy is an up-and-coming a pastor, and he's young, and he's probably a little bit insecure. And Paul is writing to him and encouraging him about how his faith was passed down from Timothy's grandmother to his mom, and then to him. Listen to this, and this is on the screen as well. 2 Timothy 1:5. I am reminded of your sincere faith. This is Paul talking to Timothy. A faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you as well. Church, I love that. God is using moms and grandmas to pass the torch of genuine faith to the next generation. Never underestimate the impact that your relationship with Jesus can have on your kids, that can have on your grandkids, that can have on your nieces and nephews, and really anybody that you interact with. So here's another question. Moms, do you have a genuine relationship with Jesus? Really, I should ask that to all of us. And parents, moms and dads, do you have a genuine and authentic relationship with Jesus Christ. See, I said it earlier, but before you can teach your kids about a relationship with Jesus, you must first passionately love God and having ingested his words and imprinted them on your heart. You have to do that first. And have you done that? I think one of the biggest obstacles as parents and as moms and as dads is often our own mediocre relationship with Jesus Christ. I know I can tell you story after story where I've recognized that in my own life, where my own mediocre relationship gets in the way of doing what God has called me to do. And I would even argue, and I would loudly say, your relationship with Jesus is the most important part of being a mom. And I don't think people would disagree with that. And here's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying this is about being perfect. See, perfection is impossible. But what is not impossible is an authentic and real relationship with Jesus. Your kids, they don't need to see us being perfect, but they need to see you being real and getting your strength from the hope of the gospel. That's what it's about. And you might be thinking, Pastor Ben, you have no idea what I am experiencing as a mom. You have no idea what I am going through. You don't know how my husband is acting. You don't know I'm bearing the weight of parenting and being the spiritual leader. Maybe you're a single mom. But here's what I do know that is true. Wherever there is an ideal situation that is lacking, there is always more than enough grace where God can get into that situation and give you what you need each and every day. Wherever the ideal is lacking, God's grace is abounding in heaps and mounds. So I go back and ask, how is your relationship with Jesus? As a parent, is it superficial? Is it lacking a compelling reason for anyone else to even want what you have? Or is it a relationship that literally directs your steps? Does it influence every single decision in your life? Are you doing bold things for Jesus and your kids are like, man, that makes sense. Is your faith sincere? Just like Timothy's mom and grandmother, is the faith dwelling in you? And the reason I say all of this, I said this many times in the last few months, but religion does not work. As parents, we must be walking with God at a heart level. We have to have this real relationship with Jesus. We have to fight being lukewarm, literally with everything inside of us. Because you know what? Our kids can spot us being a hypocrite from a mile away. They can see very early on in life when things don't add up. Why does my mom come in on a Sunday morning or dad and raise their hand and worship, but as soon as we get in the car, they yell and scream and live the rest of the week like hell? Why does this not make sense? But the impact a mom has is found in her sincere faith in Jesus, and it's passed from generation to generation. We should be encouraged by that. But let's keep moving. Here's a second encouragement that I want you to see about the impact that you are having on your kids. And here's the second point. The impact a mom has is rooted in her prayer life. I love verse 2. It says, "What are you doing, my son? What are you doing, son of my womb? What are you doing?" I'm sure many of us parents have said that to our kids. What are you doing? But then she goes on and says, "Son of my vows." You know what that means? Some of your versions might even say prayer, but this means that this mom was powerfully praying for her son and literally dedicated him to God and said, take him and use him for whatever you see his purpose is in life. And moms, I want you to know that much of your impact comes from your prayer life. It can literally change the world. You might be thinking, Pastor Ben, I don't know about that. I've been praying for some things for a very long time, and it seems like God is not doing anything, but I can assure you he is there moving and working and orchestrating things that you do not even know about. but your prayers can change the world. It was interesting. I was thinking this week, if you follow some of the greatest people of God back to kind of their beginnings in life, you can almost 100% guarantee that there was a mother on her knees powerfully praying for her children day after day and pleading with God on behalf of her kids. Here's a few examples. Behind Charles Spurgeon was his mom, Eliza, and she is known for powerfully praying and just living with open hands in regards to her son. Charles Spurgeon was a great preacher. Behind Hudson Taylor was his mom, Amelia, and Amelia was rooted in prayer just like Eliza was. And what's really interesting, most people kind of skip over the beginning stages of Hudson's life, the great missionary to China, but he was not a Christian. He was a very big skeptic of Christianity, but his mom, Amelia, kept praying and praying and praying. And you know what? Hudson went on to literally change the missionary landscape in China and literally around the world for the modern missions movement. There's one in Scripture I want to show you. Behind the beginnings of the nation of Israel was Hannah. I love the story of Hannah because she was powerfully rooted in her prayer life, crying out to God for a son. Just listen to this prayer of this woman who longed for a child that would have a great impact. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 11. Here's what it says. This is Hannah, and it's similar to King Lemuel's mom. And she vowed a vow and said, "O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your servant and remember me and not forget your servant, but will give to your servant a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall touch his head." And the rest of that story goes, God does give Hannah a child, an amazing child named Samuel, who established Israel as a kingdom. See, Hannah was a mom that was rooted in prayer, and it literally changed the world. I want to show you another part of her prayer life that comes just in the next chapter. And I love this prayer because it's when Hannah takes Samuel to the temple and she's so just full of praise and adoration for what God has done in and through her and in Samuel's life, but also for what God is going to continue to do in the nation of Israel. This is 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 10. Listen to these words. "The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Against them he will thunder in heaven. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. He will give strength to his king and exalt the horn of his anointed." Church, I love that. Hannah simply prayed for a son. But now, all of a sudden, Hannah is caught up in God's grand and perfect plan. It was greater than anything that she could ever imagine possible for her son and for her life. Here's what I want you to see and what I want you to understand from how Hannah prayed for her son Samuel. See, God may not always answer your prayers in the exact same way that he did Hannah's prayer. But we can see that Hannah prayed with humility. Hannah prayed as a servant of God. And Hannah prayed with open hands in this attitude of, "Thy will be done, Lord. Whatever you want in my life and in my son's life, he is yours. He is the son that I am vowing in front of you for." I also know that God loves to give gifts, and God loves to work miracles in the lives of those who live with open hands and say, "God, just take me and use me, take my family and use me for your kingdom. I give my kids and I dedicate them to you for your work." God loves to give gifts and work miracles in the lives of those who live and pray just like that. See, Hannah prayed, and God did immeasurably more than she could imagine for her son Samuel. Eliza Spurgeon prayed for a son that would follow hard after Jesus, and God did immeasurably more through her son, and his sermons still ring true across the world to this day as he preached and preached and preached. Amelia Taylor prayed for a son that would follow Jesus, and God did immeasurably more through him as he changed the landscape of what foreign missions looks like around the world. So moms, I just want you to know the impact you have is so rooted in your prayer life as you pray for your kids who will hopefully follow hard after Jesus Christ and be sincere followers of him and do the work of his kingdom. And I was thinking all week, I just can't help but wonder, what is God doing and orchestrating right now in this room through the prayers of our moms? What are the things that he's laying the groundwork for as our kids grow into mature followers of Jesus? I don't know, but we will see. But here's the last truth that I want you to see from this passage. And here's point number three. The impact a mom has is seen as she teaches her children to use their strength to serve other people. What King Lemuel's mom starts to do in verses 3-9 is get to the heart of the matter by giving her son some really practical examples of what it looks like to serve yourself or serve God's kingdom. She starts comparing and contrasting that. Just listen to these verses again. Verse 3, do not give your strength to women, your ways to those who destroy kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine or for rulers to take strong drink, lest they drink and forget what has been decreed and pervert the rights of all the afflicted. And what King Lemuel's mom is doing, she's pointing out that, hey, these are some of the traps that you can fall into if you seek a life that is only about your own interests. This is what happens when the power and the strength take over in your wicked and evil heart. You start pursuing the passions of that rather than the passions and the things of God. Then she goes on, verse 6, give strong drink. I almost picture her kind of saying this sarcastically. I don't know if she did. But give strong drink to the one who is perishing and wine to those in bitter distress. Let them drink and forget their poverty and remember their misery no more. Then she goes on to say, open your mouth for the mute, for the rights of all who are destitute. Open your mouth, judge righteously, defend the rights of the poor and the needy. Well, there is a lot that we can talk about right there in those passages. These words are practical and they can stand by themselves. Right? Don't chase women and don't accumulate them. That's what kings back in that day did. They just went after women after women after women and kind of accumulated a bunch of them. She's saying, don't get drunk, don't get intoxicated. You can't lead like that. It's not going to work out very well. But what I think this mom is saying in the heart of the matter is, she's saying, as a king, don't use your strength to serve yourself. Use your strength to serve other people. Don't do the thing that most kings do and abuse power, but serve. Serve others by speaking up for those who need it most. Serve others by leading righteously and judging righteously. Serve others by defending the rights of the poor and the needy and that of those that need it most. That's what good leaders do. But I think if there is one question to kind of sum up what King Lemuel's mom is getting at, I think it's this. She's saying, how are you going to use the position and the strength and the power that God has given you? Are you going to build your own personal kingdom with your own agenda? Are you going to pursue the things of God and fear him and build his kingdom? See, life in God's kingdom looks very different from the world, right? That's what we've been going through in the Sermon on the Mount. When we place our faith, hope, and trust in Jesus Christ, it literally transforms every aspect of our life. But life in God's kingdom looks very differently. And this was a lesson that Jesus taught his disciples over and over and over again. One of my favorite passages is Mark chapter 10. And near the end of it, starting about verse 38 or 40, what Jesus starts to do is James and John want to be in this position of power. They want to be in this position of prominence on the right and left of Jesus. And of course, that kind of ticks off the other disciples, and they start talking to each other, and they get angry, and Jesus says, hey, time out. We need to talk about this. And this is what it says in Mark 10, verse 43 and 45. Just listen to this. This is Jesus talking to his disciples. But it shall not be so among you, but whoever would be great among you must be your servant. And whoever would be first among you must be slave of all. Then verse 45, for even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as ransom for many. See, Jesus calls all of his disciples, and he reminds them that doing life in God's kingdom is different. The world tells us that purpose and power and fulfillment come from having influence and having money and being served and serving ourselves and following our heart and our passions. And that's exactly what King Lemuel's mom was warning her son about. But Jesus tells us that purpose and fulfillment comes from something completely different. It comes from serving other people. We are great when we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. The path of greatness in God's kingdom is downward. It is full of humility. That is what strength looks like. And as moms, when we teach our kids to serve, and they see us as parents serve, it points them straight back to the gospel of Jesus Christ. It points our kids to the one who gave his life as ransom so that they may live a life of freedom and purpose and have eternal life. See, servanthood is at the heart of what it means to follow Jesus and have a personal relationship with him. And I think what King Lemuel's mother was doing, she was giving him some really practical examples that would be maybe some stumbling points in his life as he grew to be the successful king, the pitfalls of what most kings fall into. And she said, hey, are you going to pursue the power? Are you going to pursue your own interests? Are you going to pursue your own strength? Or are you going to serve? Are you going to do things God's way? Are you going to build his kingdom? Are you going to fear God? And I believe that's what she's getting out amidst this very practical advice about not chasing women. That's a good advice, and not getting drunk. That's fantastic advice. But at the heart of it is so much more and points to the gospel of Jesus Christ. So as I kind of wrap up here and Robin comes, I just want to remind you, this mom in Proverbs 31, she was so passionate about passing down her wisdom to the next generation. And moms, I want you to know the impact you have as a mom is found in your sincere faith and a very genuine relationship with Jesus Christ that dwells in you, just like Timothy's mom and grandmother. And that's how it's passed from generation to generation. This mom in Proverbs 31 vowed, and she powerfully prayed for her son, and she lived with open hands. Said, Lord, I love my son. Take him and use him as you please. And moms, I just want you to know, do not underestimate the power of prayer. But when being a mom and a parent is maybe just so overwhelming, and when it feels impossible, all we have to do is look to the gospel, look to Jesus Christ, and he is literally all that we need. I said it earlier, but his finished work on the cross that's talked about all throughout these pages is enough. I'm just going to close with the words of Paul, 2 Corinthians chapter 12. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses. Listen to this. So that the power of Christ may rest upon me. The gospel is enough. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with the weaknesses, the insults, the hardships, the persecutions, and the calamities. For when I am weak, I am strong. As parents, as moms, when it feels like it is impossible, there is the hope of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is our hope. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for our moms, and I know in my own life, I'm thankful for my mom, as she was the one that was instrumental in leading me into a relationship with you, Father. I'm thankful for her passion for her kids and her passion for the gospel and how it literally transforms every single area of life. Father, I pray for the moms in this room who have maybe just been struggling. There's just been situation after situation, and it's stressful and feels overwhelming. Lord, may they cling to you. Lord, I pray for those in this room who have just been searching for that hope and that meaning and that purpose. Lord, may today be that day that they place their faith, hope, and trust in you, understanding that you loved us so, so much that you sent your son, Jesus, to die on the cross for our sins. So all the mistakes that we've made in the past, all the mistakes that we're currently making, all the mistakes that we make in the future, all of those are wiped away, and you paid the price for those when we placed our faith, hope, and trust in you, and we can live with you forever. Father, I pray that you'd work in the hearts to bring people to you. Lord, we're thankful. We're thankful that we have your word. We're thankful that we can just come to the house of the Lord and worship and dive into what Scripture has for us as it works into our hearts. And Father, I pray that whether it's a mom or a dad or a grandparent, a grandma or a grandpa, that we would leave changed people and we would let the seeds of your word take root in our hearts and cause us to live in a different way. We just thank you and praise you for it all. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So this is the time of invitation. This is when we respond to God's word. I just want to encourage you, if you're sitting next to your wife, man, maybe just take her by the hand and pray for her, especially if you have kids. It is tough. Pray for the other moms in your life. If there's a situation that you want Pastor Aaron and I to pray with or others down front, we would love to pray for you about that particular thing. But let's stand, let's sing, let's respond.
Thanks for listening to the Lima Baptist Temple podcast. We hope you are encouraged today, and we would love to hear from you. If you have a prayer request, a topic you would like to discuss, or want to share what God is doing in your life, visit us online at limabaptisttemple.org/centralhub.